Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The Christian faith is saying that the Lamb has now come, and the Lamb of God. The greatest sacrifice is none other than God's only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And now on Mount Calvary, the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is offered as a sacrifice by His Father.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Most of us understand the idea of sacrifice. It often involves giving precious time or money or energy to those we love most. Today, we're preparing our hearts for Easter as we reflect on a unique sacrifice, the most significant sacrifice ever made, when the all-powerful, sovereign God gave His only Son so that we could be rescued. Here's Pastor John Monroe.
As we approach Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we're reflecting on the events at Golgotha, the place of the skull. There, on that old rugged cross, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, is bearing the sins of the world. Today, I want to reflect on the cross by thinking of another man who was prepared to sacrifice his son, but at the last minute, God intervened. This story points us to that unforgettable scene, that memorable scene, when God the Father did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Have you ever thought of the death of Jesus from this perspective, as the Father's only Son? So come and join me as we hear the story of a father who was prepared to offer his son as a sacrifice. Genesis 22. If you've got a Bible, turn there with me. Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God, notice this, tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Abraham is left in no doubt as to what he must do. He's to take his son, his only son that he loved, Isaac, this child of promise, this child for which they had waited so long, and to go to Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering to the Lord. There was the command. But there's also the promise. What is the promise? The promise is, Abraham, in you, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. Listen to the writer of the Hebrews state it this way in Hebrews 11, verses 17 and 18. The writer says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. You see, for many, many years, Abraham had claimed the promises of God. The promise was that he was going to have as many descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sands on the seashore, innumerable. And in his offspring, all of the families of the earth were going to be blessed. What a glorious promise. And finally, after all of the years of waiting, the years of frustration, no doubt, Isaac is born, the son of promise. And the promise still stands. Through Isaac, not any other child, not any other son, but through Isaac is the promise, shall your offspring be named. Now, how can you have both? How can the command of God, go and offer up your son as a burnt offering, be harmonized with the promise of God, through Isaac shall your offspring be named? If Isaac is to be offered up to God, he can't be the son having many descendants. The promises of God depended on Isaac, and now God is commanding Abraham to take away his own son. It doesn't make sense. What a conflict. But Abraham knew that that conflict was to be solved by God and not by him. And Abraham, the great example of faith that the writers of the New Testament refer to, Abraham believed God, that God is always faithful to his promises. God is not a God who lies. God never, ever, ever goes back on one of his promises. You ever question God? You ever had a conflict with God? You ever had an argument with God? God is telling you to do one thing, and it just seems impossible. It seems to be unfair. It seems unlikely. What he seems to be asking you is very, very difficult to do. How could you possibly do it? Abraham is faced with this seemingly insoluble conflict. But there is a resolution. And here God is testing Abraham. It was a test of obedience to Abraham. How did Abraham, this great man of faith, resolve the seeming conflict between the command of God to sacrifice his own son and the promise of God that in that very son, all of the nations and all of the families of the earth were going to be blessed? Perhaps we get a hint of it in Genesis 22, verse 5. Notice it. Abraham said to his young men who were with him, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship to Mount Moriah and come again to you." That's faith, isn't it? Come again to you. The writer in Hebrews 11, verse 19, puts it this way. He, that is Abraham, considered, are you listening to this? Considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham's faith is so strong in God that he continues to claim the promise of God that through Isaac, all of his descendants would be called. He believed God, that God is so powerful that he could raise his son from the dead. Now, up to this point in biblical history, no one had ever been raised from the dead. But Abraham believed that the God who could create life from the old bodies of Sarah and himself could also raise the dead. That's faith, trusting God and acting on it. In life's impossible situations that you and I sometimes face, what are we to do? We're to trust God. We're to trust God. In the dark, in the conflict, in the seemingly impossible situations of God, God calls us to trust him and to leave God to work out the solution in his own time and his own perfect way. To trust God and to claim the promises of God, that God is a God who is always faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Kierkegaard writes, and there he stood, the old man with his only hope. But he did not doubt. He did not look anxiously to the right or to the left. He did not challenge heaven with his prayers. He knew that it was God the Almighty who was trying him. He knew that it was the hardest sacrifice that could be required of him. And he knew also that no sacrifice was too hard when God required it. And he drew the knife. Abraham is a reminder to us that we, who would say that we are people of faith in God, that God tests the faith of his people. Your faith ever been tested? Abraham surely is one of the hardest tests ever. He is told by God to give up his most precious treasure, his greatest joy, his unbelievable delight, the child of promise, his boy Isaac. Anyone here would do that? Genesis 22 emphasizes several times the great love that Abraham had for his boy. Even when he's told in verse 2, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love." He loved his son. Genesis 22 emphasizes the love that Abraham has for Isaac, but it also emphasizes that Abraham holds nothing back. Nothing back. That's worship, isn't it? Here is worship at its highest, surely. Everything surrendered to the Lord. Yes, including my own family. Everything is yours, Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't there a lesson here for us? Living by faith, my dear friends, means obeying God. Living by faith means acknowledging that everything you are belongs to God. That every good and every perfect gift comes down from God. Everything you receive from God Everything you receive comes from the good hand of God. And everything, therefore, belongs to God. Worship is presenting to God what he already owns, but it is holding it lightly. And the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we who call our Lord Jesus Lord, we who say he is the master, we who say he's the sovereign, that means that he has absolute, yes, absolute claim on everything. That means we're to hold everything we have with open hands. As human beings, we are self-absorbed, holding on, protecting what we have. This is mine. This is what I worked for. This is what I achieved. This is mine. Leave me alone. Faith is the very opposite. It comes from you, God, and I'm trusting you, God, for everything in life. Your possessions, your family, your dreams, your plans, your future. What about your career? What about that which gives you such great joy? That which gives you financial security? That which gives you prestige? That which you value so much in life? How do you respond, for example, when your company is reorganized? When it goes into bankruptcy, when it's taken over, when it's restructured, when your job is gone and you find yourself out in the parking lot with very little, our faith is tested. How are you going to react? With bitterness? With a refusal to move with God? With understanding that God clearly is moving you to a new situation, to a deeper trust in him, to claim the promises of God? Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God will provide for you? That if you trust God, that if you surrender everything you are and have to God, and you walk with God, God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. That's what Abraham experienced. Was there a danger of Abraham, because he had waited so long for this boy, and because he loved that boy so dearly, was it possible that Abraham's first love in life was Isaac rather than the Lord? Here is a test. Faith which claims the promises is to be sacrificial. Are we prepared to sacrifice what is the dearest thing to us for the sake of the kingdom of God? That's worship, isn't it? Worship isn't just singing a little chorus, a little hymn. Worship is our whole life presented to God, giving ourselves, as it were, on the altar. It's giving our best. It's giving our first. It's giving our fondest treasure. It's giving our all. C.T. Studd, the famous English cricketer. You don't understand cricket, I know, but he was very famous in England. He wrote this. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Jesus put it this way. If anyone comes after me, let him take up his cross, deny self, and follow me. The binding of Isaac by his father Abraham on Mount Moriah is surely one of the most moving, most memorable, most holy scenes in all of Scripture. A father prepares to take his son's life in obedience to the commands of God. What could be more moving than that? But that moving, memorable, holy scene is surpassed surely by a greater scene, a holier scene, a more memorable scene, which took place on another mountain. In fact, a mountain very close to Mount Moriah, Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary is only a short distance from Mount Moriah. When some of us were in Israel standing on the Temple Mount, we could see the gray dome of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is probably the site of ancient Golgotha, Calvary, just a short distance from the Temple Mount, outside the city walls of Old Jerusalem. In Genesis 22, Isaac asks this most insightful question, where is the lamb? We've got the wood, we've got the fire, Dad, but where is the lamb? That's the question of the Old Testament, isn't it? Where is the lamb? The question that Isaac asks, that Jacob and Joseph and Moses and King David and King Solomon and King Hezekiah and all of the Old Testament prophets, as they think of the coming of the Messiah, and all of the offering by the Levites of the countless thousands of animals under the Mosaic system. They are all crying out. All of the Old Testament is saying, where is the Lamb? 2,000 years ago, in a little country of Israel, there is a man, a unique man, walking one day. And another man that we call John the Baptist said of him, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. Not just a lamb, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Christian faith is saying that the Lamb has now come, and the Lamb of God, the greatest sacrifice, is none other than God's own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And now on another mount, Mount Calvary, the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is offered as a sacrifice by his Father. The first mention of love in the Old Testament is Abraham's love for Isaac, this son whom you love. The first mention of love in the New Testament is that beautiful scene when Jesus is being baptized by John in the Jordan River. You remember it, where the heavens opened and the Father looks down and the Spirit descends in the form of a dove, and God the Father says of his Son, this is my what? Well-beloved Son. No son was greater loved than our Heavenly Father's love for his Son. This is my well-beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What love our Heavenly Father has for his Son, the Son of God. John 3:35 says, the Father loves the Son. Here is a perfect eternal love between God the Father and God the Son. And in great love, this Father who loves his Son sends his Son in love to save you and me, to be a sacrifice for sinners, for people who have blown it. Isaac carried the wood for the burnt offering on his back as he traveled to Mount Moriah when Jesus, God's Son, the Lamb of God, goes to Calvary, the place of sacrifice. What is he doing? He is bearing his own cross. Peter says so beautifully in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. A piece of wood. He's carrying the wood. The Lamb is carrying the wood on which wicked men are going to nail him. And it's true, at the last moment, a substitute is found for Isaac, a ram caught in the thickets. But for the Lamb of God, for the Son of God, there is no substitute. In fact, he is our substitute, the Lamb of God. And so Paul says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to die for us. He takes our sin so that we become his righteousness. He dies that we might live. Isaac at the last minute is spared, but Paul, as he writes in Romans 8, surely is thinking of Genesis 22 when he says that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. No, God did not spare his son. But God the Father delivered him up for us all, for your salvation and mine. We sung, O Lord, my Lord, what love is this that gave so freely that I, the guilty one, may go free. Amazing love. Oh, what sacrifice. The Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he dies that I might live. That I might live. He goes into death that I may live forever. And while Isaac in type dies and is given back to his father, Jesus Christ in reality, in human history, dies physically on a cross. And then after 3 days in the tomb, he's raised by his Father and his God in great triumph. So now he is the exalted Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he alone has defeated death. And the good news of the gospel is that you, by simple faith, that you can be eternally united to this great Savior who in love dies for you, pays the price for your sin, is buried, is raised again, and to have a faith in Christ, a faith which defeats death itself. Why wouldn't you trust him? As we look at the bread and the wine, we're reminded of our Savior's great sacrifice, that we may be eternally saved. Don't give God the leftovers of your life. Young man, young woman, older man, older woman. Don't give God the leftovers. What an insult to this great God. Give your all. Don't hold anything back. Live a life of faith, trusting and claiming the promises of God in every circumstance of life. Yes, in the difficult circumstances of life. Remember, he is Jehovah Jireh. Give us this day our daily bread. He will provide. Why won't you trust him? He is the God who provides. This is Paul's argument, irrefutable argument in Romans 8. He says, he who did not spare his son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God, in a sense, has done the difficult thing in sending his son to be the sacrifice for your sins. That's the difficult thing. Do you not think that you can trust him for the easy thing? Taking care of you, guiding you, providing for you, watching over you. Of course. Isaac asks, where is the lamb? John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Where is the lamb? For all of eternity, the Lamb of God will receive our praise, because for those of us saved by his grace, for all of eternity, we will sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Father, underline these truths in our hearts. Some here are anxious, some here are worried. May this great truth that you provide, this truth that you love us, this truth that you save us, this truth that you will guide us in every circumstance of life, may it strengthen us and affirm us. And those who are standing here who don't know Christ personally, may they look to the Savior who loved them and gave themselves for him. We ask it in his name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Your Only Son. If you'd like to go back and hear any part of this message or share it with a friend, just go to our website where you'll find all of John's daily lessons. That's theverdict.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter. And if you'd like to start doing more to help share the gospel of Jesus Christ, will you consider playing a part in this radio ministry by making a one-time donation? With your financial gift of any amount, you'll be joining our efforts to bring the truth of God's Word into new communities across the globe. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Simply go to theverdict.org. Or feel free to send a check through the mail by addressing your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And then as we reach the end of today's program, we want to invite you to join us for worship this Easter Sunday here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road. And if you're listening from anywhere in the area, we encourage you to come worship with us in person this Sunday. Or join us from wherever you are by watching through our live stream online. For more details about our Easter services or any of our ministries, just visit our home church website at calvarychurch.com. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Does God's love for you overwhelm you? If you are a father, think of the love you have for your children. It would be unthinkable to give them up. But think of the love of God, who did not spare his son, but offered him up for us, to forgive us, to save us. If you know him as your Savior, tell others about him live a life to the glory of God. And join me next time as we will rejoice in the glorious resurrection of our Savior from the dead.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.